Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. Kate, Becky, and I are here in my backyard now, and children are playing around us, so hopefully this will work with recording. We shall see. We're just doing a Q&A episode right now, so should be a little laid back. Hopefully we can make it through. I feel like everyone's being really peaceful right now, so we'll see.
Don't jinx it.
I know. Don't notice. Do not notice. So the first question, let's see. How do you handle being sick as a mom with young kids, and how do you get rest?
Ooh,
we've not seen any of these at all.
No.
This is our first hearing any of these questions, so we have no time to prepare this thoughtfully. We're just going to answer as honestly as we can.
I do feel like it depends on the season you're in as a mother, because my husband, this is Kate, my husband travels a lot for work, and so when we were sick this winter, we had the stomach flu, influenza A, and some other godforsaken virus, and he was gone literally every single time we were ill. And with a like 4-month-old and a 3-year-old, would put the baby in a carrier, and I would put Ollie in a carrier and lock every single door, put the alarm on, and sit on the couch so Ollie and I could sleep, and put a movie on for Audrey. Like, literally the most survival instinct things would just come out. We like survived on all the paper plates, all the like microwavable foods, all the broths, everything that was like pre-made in the freezer, which I will say, being prepared for sick season ahead of time is really helpful, because so like in the fall, I always try to have my medicine cabinet all stocked up.
Yes.
Pre-sick season.
That helps.
And
so
I feel like that helps a ton, because you know you already have like saline for the nebulizer. You have every like tincture you want, because you know with tinctures you have to think ahead.
Right.
A little bit, because the Walmart doesn't carry them.
Yeah.
In a rural area. And so having your sick bin filled up and ready to go, and knowing where all of it is and having it organized. And also being prepared with, like, we have electrolyte pops in the freezer at all times. So stomach bug, it takes us out. I've got grape juice at all times.
Yeah.
I have popsicles at all times. And just being prepared in that aspect, I feel like, helps a lot. I also keep a bin of toys and activities that Audrey's never seen.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm at a yard sale without her, it doesn't have to be much. But, like, I've bought Little People figurines, like a bag for $5 at a yard sale.
Yeah.
Or like new sticker books that I know will keep her occupied. Mm-hmm. And I keep a small shelf in one of my closets upstairs just with some sick day things, or if we're having a real tough day and dad's out of town.
Yeah.
And so when I was postpartum this sick season with a really small baby and a 3-year-old, I leaned heavily on like all my preparation for sick season.
Yeah.
And then I cried some, and I also texted my friends and asked for prayer. And so I feel like handling it as a mom, sometimes when you have little people, especially that literally don't do a thing, can't do a thing for themselves, you're just putting out fires and knowing that the season of the week will end.
Mm-hmm.
It will come to an end.
Right.
You will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing I started doing too was keeping a go bag in our pantry.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
different from my bag in the van.
Yeah.
And so like if I were to have to go to the ER with a kid while my husband's out of town, or urgent care while my husband's out of town, I have extra, like, diaper pull-ups, extra clothes, pajamas, and you have to do an overnight hospital stay.
Yes.
Which sounds a little insane.
No.
But after, like, we had an ER visit with Audrey this winter, and we did have an overnight for pneumonia, I just now keep essentially it's an urgent care hospital bag.
Right.
If we have to stay overnight in a pinch somewhere, hope to God we don't, but, like, I'm ready to go. So just keeping, I feel like, preparation in advance for whatever situation you could encounter when your kids are sick and you're sick,
right,
helps a lot. Like meal prepping ahead of time, like having broth available, having some soups available, even if it's like canned or whatever you want to do, or you freeze soup in advance, having things ready to go, always having paper plates on hand, having your sick season bin stocked up, just prepping in advance helped me survive being a solo parent most of the winter was next season. Yeah.
And for me, it's changing your mindset because it's, you know, it's just my
pink. We're recording right now.
Where's my pink thing?
I don't know. What pink thing?
My pink bike.
Oh, in the shed. I guess I need something.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Thank you. Changing your mindset to it's getting rest as a mom is never going to look like getting rest before you have kids. Right. So don't think that getting rest is going to be you getting to go take a long nap when you're sick. Praise God when that does happen and your husband is available to help and or you have family or friends that are available to help. Like, praise the Lord for that. But don't expect that that's what rest is going to look like. Yeah. A lot of times it's just going to look like you sitting down and the kids playing around you, but sitting and trusting that God, when we are weak, then he is strong. Mm-hmm. So trusting that God is going to be strong and provide for you your needs. And sometimes it's going to look like help. Sometimes it's going to look like supernatural healing and strength when you need it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's going to look like maybe you needed a month at home. And that's okay. And praise God for that. Becky, you've actually helped me a lot with this, being like, you'll get to the house later.
Yeah.
It's okay. And because my big thing is when I don't feel good, it's like paired with anxiety because I can't do the things I need to do or I think I need to do. So I get really anxious, like, I need to be cooking and cleaning and laundry and all the things that I normally do. But instead, just being like, actually, you'll get to those later. And it's really not that big of a deal to let the house get a little crazier than it normally looks or to eat more convenient foods or for your laundry to back up when you're sick. It's really not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Your house will not explode. Like, you can take a week to rest and get better and trust that that's how God made our bodies to work, that when we rest, we are able, our immune systems are able to work better and we can get better faster. And then you will feel better and pulling all that shit.
100%. And I agree with what both of you guys are saying. One is a lot of preparation, which is just getting organized and having all of your ducks in a row, or as many ducks as you can get in a row, you know, but having food ready, having stuff you can pull from the freezer, having all of your medicines stocked so you're not trying to panic buy activated charcoal or something like that, but just keeping those things on hand and then knowing that it's all going to be fine. Your house might get chaotic. It will get chaotic. I won't even say might. It will get chaotic.
It will get nuts.
Toys will get dumped out everywhere. Cabinets will get emptied. And it's going to be okay. It won't take that long to put it all back. Like, when you, I think that was the thing mentally that helped me was when I was on bed rest for so long after surgeries or different things, realized that, I mean, there was like 6 or 8 weeks where I did nothing or very little anyway. And yes, the kids kind of picked up here and there, but I realized it really took me like max a week. And that was after 6 weeks. And it was just a little bit each day to get my house reclaimed. And I thought, you know what? If I can do that for 6 weeks, what's one?
Right.
What's 2 weeks? You know, it'll just take me like a couple days to pull it back. And it's not a big deal. But it feels like a big deal and it feels overwhelming. So some of it, too, is just choosing to set your mind on things above.
Yeah.
Don't stare at the mess in front of you and fuss over it or wallow on it. Just say, okay, it is what it is. It's going to be fine. One day we'll get it tidied up and we're not hosting small group this week. So it's fine, you know, or we're not going to be having a party this week. So it's okay. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But focusing on caring well for your body physically, caring well for your children's bodies physically, and let the rest go by the wayside. It's okay if they watch movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay if they listen to audiobooks, because my kids, when we all got sick, wanted me to read to them a lot, which I didn't have the throat to do, you know, or the voice to do.
Sorry, my brain's exploding.
So we did audiobooks or, you know, little things like that. And that was a big help. So some of it is just figuring out what's going to work for your people to keep them happy and well cared for.
Yeah.
And just know that you're in a crisis season.
Yeah.
Like that's a crisis situation.
Yeah. And I remember one time that Jared and I both came down with the stomach flu, like almost the same time. And the kids had recently been sick. So they were like, you know, whiny and still not feeling good and not at their most independent selves, you know. Yeah. And it was a moment of like, oh gosh, what are we going to do? Because stomach flu is one of those like, you hit your hour, you know, like you're totally out. And
or the front yard, if you run out of bathrooms.
Yeah, or you guys, the front yard. Yeah, you guys all got it at the same time.
Yeah, we did.
And so sometimes, again, the Lord provides. Sometimes you just make it through. Sometimes it's just like white knuckle it, like this will hopefully only be 24 hours and we'll make it through.
Yeah.
And then other times God provides people a help. And I remember talking to my mom had called to check on us and I was like, well, we're both sick. And my dad was like, I'm coming to get kids. And he just came and got all kids and gave us 12 hours, you know, like here, sleep, rest, and they'll be back. And so just like being thankful and not being scared to ask for help, like sometimes people just don't know what you need. So sometimes you need to say, Mom, would you mind to come and get the kids for 12 hours? Or friend, can you come and get the kids for 12 hours? We both have the stomach flu.
Yeah.
And hopefully you have people like that in your life. But the first step to getting people like that in your life is being that kind of person for people too. So
I was thinking too, like we were talking about mindset, and I think once you reframe your brain as like sickness is a good thing, like it really does help your body. Like when your body's fighting something off, it's doing what the Lord intends for your body to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a big bummer when everyone in your home is sick and it stinks.
Right.
But it's also something to be like, thank you, Jesus, that our bodies are healthy to fight this illness and help me learn from it and figure out what works best for my family.
Yeah.
Because that was like, you know, well, you guys both got a text from me this winter when it was just one after the other. And it was just a learning season.
Mm-hmm.
And now I feel like the things that stressed me out before don't necessarily stress me out so much anymore.
Yeah.
I'm more prepared. You know, there's so much we can learn from everyone being sick at one time.
Yeah, I think another really helpful thing that I've had to learn the hard way is no situation can be made better by complaining.
Yeah.
Right. Like, if you choose to complain about it.
What's going on?
Oh, just rolled that slide out. And then Elsie goes, oh, I didn't know you had a slide.
Oh, sweet. She's so excited.
You can play on that, baby.
Not yet.
It's okay. It's okay.
Oh, man.
But no situation can be made better by complaining.
Yeah.
So even if it's hard, it's okay. It doesn't warrant a complaint. It doesn't warrant whining and
cheer
wallowing
is good medicine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And once you learn to just say, okay, Lord, yes, this is awful. Like Brandon and I were laughing at each other in between throwing up when we all had the stomach flu. Like, this is ridiculous. Like there were some tears shed too, but we're also like, this is insane.
Mm-hmm.
What is happening right now?
Man.
But I think Indy Wilson in his book, Death by Living, talks about that too. And his wife would just look at each other and be like, Death by Living.
Yeah.
Death by Living. It is what it is. And it's going to be fine. But just keep a cheerful heart.
I remember it was like two or three winters ago that we had the winter of sickness and disease.
Was it two winters ago?
Winter of affliction.
And it was literally one thing after the other and did not stop from November. It was November to March. And someone was sick from November to March. And I remember sometime during all of this, because a lot of times when our kids are sick, I let them sleep either on the couch or on a pallet in our room or something. And I remember having an air mattress in the living room. Do you remember this? And as we'd watched a movie out there and we were I think we'd watched All Creatures, Great and Small.
Yeah.
And it was after that was over and we were up a little bit late and the lights were out and the fan was on and just reading to them and being like, this is so sweet.
Yeah.
And just looking for the sweetness in it. And like, we wouldn't have had that sweet, slow moment if we hadn't have had weeks upon weeks of being at home and just looking for the good things, even in trials of any kind, but especially when you are sick or your family's sick, just looking like, what is this? What's the sweetness of this sweet, slow time that we are forced to stay home and forced to be together, forced to take care of each other? Because it can be really sweet.
Yeah.
So preparation and mindset. That's how you handle being sick with all.
Okay. The next question, should I stick to a fixed wake-up time, even when pregnant, looking after a newborn? So should you stay waking up early or have a fixed wake-up time, or should you let your body sleep in? Kate, this is really funny because you kind of talked about thing.
Yeah.
So should the question, hey, that's super loud. Should you stick to a fixed wake-up time,
mm-hmm.
even when you're pregnant or have a newborn, you know, and you're up a lot? Or should you let your body...
I think it depends on which one we're talking about. If you're talking about born, I am a heavy advocate for rest. That is not your season to be doing anything grand other than caring for yourself and your baby. Because if you're not caring well for yourself and your baby postpartum, or caring for yourself postpartum, hopefully everyone's caring for their babies well postpartum. But if they're not caring for yourself, it will prolong your healing and make things way more difficult.
I think that's true in pregnancy too.
Like, yes, 100%
for both.
100%.
Like, if you're not getting the rest that you need in either of those, it's not going to go well.
I think you can get to a point where like you've healed after having a baby and you're still just like, I just don't want to. That's a little bit of a different situation. Like, right. Set a wake up time that's reasonable.
Sometimes. This is our best organized
one. Yeah.
So sometimes during pregnancy and postpartum, you need to sleep. Like, you just need to sleep. And you need to prioritize rest above getting up early. And even, you want to do it up here. Okay. Even above, and hear this the right way. Like, maybe you pull back on what your Bible reading plan looks like for that year. Maybe you're reading the Bible in 2 years instead of 1 year that year. Or your depth of Bible reading or whatever. Sometimes you're in just survival mode where it's like, I actually have to prioritize. Maybe it's prayer during the season instead of reading 5 chapters a day. Maybe you're like praying a lot more during the season as you are sleepy and your body needs more rest. So I would say prioritizing rest whenever you're in those seasons. But then there's a season after that comes where your body doesn't really need as much rest, but your mind is still really foggy.
Yeah.
And that's when I would say go ahead and start getting waking up early at that point. Kind of like what you were talking about this morning, where it's like you're still not getting a ton of rest,
right?
But you're healed up from postpartum. And now it maybe just is like your body has to just get used to not sleeping as much.
Yeah.
And you might be in a better place to get up earlier sometime. Quiet time.
When I was postpartum with Ollie, I had a 3-year-old that liked to wake up at 5:30 or 6. And I was waking up. I mean, for the last several months, I've been waking up with the kids because I've been so healing and tired. And, you know, but now I'm in a season where I just, like you said, you know, you're going to get only a little rest, maybe someday. And you just adapt. And like for me right now, I think getting up earlier than the kids is ideal.
Yeah.
For me, you know, mentally to be able to get things done and do my Bible reading time. But yeah, like you guys said, newborn, not your best time to be waking up early before everybody else, you know?
Yeah.
Unless you have a newborn that sleeps like 12 hours straight,
right?
Which I have not had either of those.
It's just all a very unique to the person situation. So it's hard to really give an answer on that, but those are some thoughts. Do you have any other thoughts about sleeping and waking up at all?
I don't think so. I was going to say, too, it kind of depends on, like, what season you're in. Like, if you have older kids that are, like, 10 or so that are getting up, making breakfast, doing things, and you have maybe an age gap and you have a baby, maybe you can sleep in a little bit more often or whatever. But
you should never feel guilt about getting rest that you need. But it's just being mindful of, am I doing this because my body needs it, or am I doing this because I feel like I'm giving myself permission to sleep more than I actually really need to? I don't know. It's just, you got to search your own heart.
I would say, too, like, I'm a night owl, and my tendency is to stay up too late, and that's my own fault. And so then when I'm being woken up by kids, it's my fault. Like, because, you know, so just examining, like, when are you going to bed also, I think is a big.
That's one of the best ways to get more sleep is just go to bed earlier.
Yeah.
You know,
go to bed.
You really can just go to bed earlier.
And if you need to, put the kids to bed earlier.
Yes.
Like,
absolutely.
We started putting, you know, our kids to bed earlier because we weren't getting the time we needed together. I wasn't getting time at the end of the day to work on things. And so the kids' bedtime is earlier now.
Yeah. And that is a great idea.
And honestly,
I think a lot of times people let the kids stay up too late. And I'm like, they actually need more sleep. You need some quiet time. Like, put them to bed.
Yeah.
And they don't have to fall asleep as soon as you put them to bed.
Right.
Yeah. They can have books in their bed and read for a little bit. They don't have to sleep immediately. But Anne and I have done that sometimes on our date nights when we're at home. But he's with him working a bunch, you know, he needs to get to bed at a reasonable time. So we'll just put the kids to bed earlier. And they're not necessarily asleep, but they're in their room and they are cared for and have everything that they need. And if they need to read for a little bit to settle down, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But they can go to bed earlier if they really can.
And then you can too.
Yeah. But I feel like going to bed earlier is usually, especially if you have more than just the newborn at home, is probably your better idea for getting rest.
Yeah.
Because there have been times where I have overslept and I'm waking up to a toddler who has escaped and who knows what's happened.
Yeah. And you're like, darn it.
You're like, gosh, I should have been up before I'm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can, my advice would be get your rest
and
by putting the kids
on
to bed earlier.
End.
Yeah. And I've said this before. There's no rule that says you can't go to bed at 7:30 at night. Like, if you are in a season, that's fine. We just don't want you to hit your head on that corner. But there's no rule that says
if you need rest, that you can't go to bed at 7:30.
Right.
Like, put your children to bed and go to sleep.
Go to bed. Yeah.
Go to sleep. Don't scroll.
Don't scroll.
Don't watch Netflix or whatever. Like, just don't read your book. Go to bed. Yes. Go to bed. Sleep. And then you'll probably feel better about waking up earlier. Like, since we go to bed decently early, I naturally wake up early. Like, I don't ever set an alarm. I never set an alarm because I always just naturally wake up early.
Yeah.
And because my body is getting a lot of rest. So.
And then your body is getting the rest that it needs, too, if you're naturally just waking up early.
Yeah.
You know that your body's just rested. That's what I do, too, and it works.
Okay, so kind of along that same line, the next question is, how do you stay patient and kind to older kids when you are physically exhausted? So step one, get more sleep.
Yeah.
Because this is really hard to do if you are exhausted.
Along the physical sense, before we get into controlling your sin, make sure you're eating enough protein and, like, nourishing yourself with good food, because if you're exhausted, it's not going to help if you eat a bunch of carbs and sugary things and fill up on coffee before you have protein in the morning. And I feel like that's, like, to me, like, my first postpartum, I was really bad at doing that. And so I say that not to be judgmental, because I was there, not realizing how many carbs I was intaking and how much sugar I was intaking. And looking back, that's part of the reason I was so exhausted, and it just didn't help. So just, you know, examine your diet too, and, like, when you're, you know, when you're drinking caffeine, if you are, that kind of thing.
I think that's good, really good advice.
Eating in a way that's balanced, keeping your blood sugar balanced, because that will also balance your hormones. It will keep the rest of you just a little bit more stable. Sometimes too, it's been helpful for me. I mean, when we say older kids, my oldest is 7, but it's been helpful for me sometimes to just tell him when I'm overwhelmed and just be like, hey, mommy's feeling overwhelmed right now. It's not you. This is me, but I need a minute.
Yeah.
I need a minute.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling like I'm going to get angry, and it's not your fault. It's mommy's thing that she needs to control, but it would be really helpful if I had some quiet for a few minutes. And sometimes too, just remove yourself from the situation. There have been times where, you know, we've kind of got head to head on some things. And I just said, okay, I'm going to walk away for a minute, and I'm going to go pray, take a beat, and then I'll come back and we'll talk about it in a minute. Or even if it's a behavioral thing, it's okay to say, hey, I need you to go to your room. I need you to pray, take some deep breaths, and we will talk about this. But nothing good happens from...
Can she start that?
Okay. Nothing good happens from continuing to have conversations or try to discipline an anger. It's never going to turn out well.
No.
So take the time to do whatever you need to do to calm down and then address the situation.
Yeah.
We should have taken a video of all the things that are
happening right now. Video, guys. Yeah. And I think another one, so if you are struggling with older kids, and especially with boys, I think there comes an age where, hopefully you have a godly husband, but there comes an age with boys, I think, where it's like, okay, dad's going to be taking over the majority of the discipline. I'm 5 foot tall. So, like, there's a point where, like, I don't head to head. You know what I mean? Like, there's no intimidation.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you. You gave me it all. You just handed me a handful of lotion. That helped me. You want some lotion?
I ended up with a giant handful of lotion.
Not that my sons are ever physical with me or anything like that, but I'm just saying, like, when your boys become so old, like, and if they are hormonal and angry, and it's like, no, we're not going to do any of this. You are going to be disciplined by dad today.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you are getting really angry, maybe it's getting pushed too far. Like, maybe you need to not get angry, and maybe it just immediately be going to dad.
Yeah.
At the first sign of anger, or the first sign of, like, a discipline issue. Mm-hmm. I think that if you're becoming impatient, then maybe you should hand it over to dad at that point.
Yeah. That's good.
I think also being reminded, too, that postpartum is not always depression, but postpartum can sometimes be ragey feelings.
Yeah.
So if you think that you might be losing your patience a lot and you are postpartum or pregnant or something like that, just knowing that some of those feelings can be hormonal. So maybe taking steps towards hormone balancing.
Yes.
If you are feeling, like, impatient and ragey a lot.
Yeah.
No more.
This isn't specifically for this, but just thinking about being gentle with our children. Mm-hmm. Like, being gentle doesn't mean you can discipline and have a gentle heart toward your kids.
What's up, Mom?
It's not.
You're not meaning gentle.
No. Very much can discipline, but be kind and gentle to your children. And I think one of the things that's helped me in this postpartum season, at least the last few months, I've been doing a gentleness challenge. And that's been a really sweet reminder to me every day and a very convicting reminder, especially when we were sick all winter and just the challenges of like having a husband that's traveling a lot for work. It's not the exact same. I'm not parenting an older child. My oldest is 4. But just, you know, training our heart to be gentle with our children in words and the way that we interact with them.
Well, I think some of our camp is so anti-gentle parenting, which I am too. I think you should be spanking your children because the Bible tells you to. But God, we also have commands about being gentle.
Yes.
So the opposite of gentle parenting isn't gentle parenting.
Like we're not screaming profanity.
It's biblical parenting.
Yes.
You can parent with gentleness without gentle parenting.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So and not losing the gentleness.
No.
Right. When we
you can be gentle and firm and spank and hold your kids to the standard they need to be held to.
Yeah.
And hold yourself to a standard of being gentle but firm.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's important with parenting to not lose the truth that your children are human.
Yeah.
And it's like, would you talk to any other human the way that you're talking to them? Are you degrading them in your discipline? Are you being so impatient and disrespectful of them that they are learning disrespect towards you from you?
Right.
So just remembering that, like, we have to respect them as humans also in our discipline. Like, we correct them in discipline and train them in the way that God tells us to, but we don't dehumanize them by being snarky with them or yelling at them and stuff like that. So
yeah, and I think too, one thought that's been helpful for me is, would I want to be parented the way that I'm parenting?
Yeah.
And would I, because there are some people who meet, like Jordan, your mom is one of them, where she's just so motherly. It's like, oh, I just want you to mother me, you know? And I want my children to want to be around me. And that's just one way that I kind of self-check every now and then, be like, okay, the way I'm handling this situation, is this how I would have wanted to be parented? Not like to get out of discipline or things like that, but just would I have, in this situation, knowing what the consequences need to be, would I want this yelled at me?
Right.
Or would I want this firmly but calmly said, listen, this was a choice you made and this is what's going to happen. And then just a calm, like holding the line. You know, and of course it's that, but.
And remembering too that we had to learn all of the things that we're now instilling in our children.
For the first time.
We also
have to do this for the first
time. Yes. So we're mothering for the first time. They're childing for the first time. And also, like, we were born in sin like our children were. Like, because of Adam and Eve, we are all in this boat together. And so we also had the childlike capability to be sinful in a way that a 4-year-old could be, in a way an 8-year-old could be. The only way to teach our children is through us. Like, that's the only way that the kids are going to learn how to master their sin is by modeling it as parents, disciplining them in the way that we need to. So what are we modeling? And like remembering that we too were there at one point, maybe not doing the exact same sin things, but we also had to learn.
Yeah.
So like remembering our children are human and they're just learning. They don't know any different because they're sinful little people. Yeah. Like, we're sinful big people.
Something that I'm frequently reminded of is I'll say something to Jared, like, I keep telling them this, you know?
Yeah.
And then every time I say something like that, it's instantly in my mind and God feels the same of you.
Uh-huh.
And like, I just, it's helpful to remember like how forgetful you are as a human and how God has to be patient with you over and over again and how God has been gracious with us over and over and over again. And that we just have to keep doing that with our kids and remembering that like they aren't robots.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't like an input output situation. And just being reminded that like this isn't like I am guaranteed that if I tell them this one time and spank them the one time that they forgot it, that they'll never do it again.
Yeah.
But it's like continuing to pray and trust that the Holy Spirit is at work within them. And ultimately, you cannot control this human. Like, as much as I discipline, as much as I tell and train, I cannot control what they do. Yeah. And being at peace that it's only God that can do a work in someone's heart.
Yeah.
So the next one's actually really funny. I'll wait for Becky, though. She might be changing a diaper, though.
Yeah.
Are you done?
No. I'll just go ahead and read it. So, new listener, and I have trouble telling who is
Is that Becky? Yes.
Okay. Okay, this one's funny.
Okay.
She says, I am a new listener, and I have trouble telling who is who. Who are all of you? And is there anywhere that I can put a name with a face? Sure. Well, I am Jordan.
I get that a lot.
This voice belongs to Jordan. And I don't know, am I supposed to tell who I am?
Wait, let me ask you a question again. Do we need, is there any?
Maybe we should put a picture.
We should probably put pictures.
We'll take a picture. We did take a picture today.
Yeah, we did.
Jabri.
Yeah.
I will put a picture on the Fruitful and Fearless.
Label our faces.
I will put a name tag on all of us.
And Jordan, you're on a lot of the stories for Fruitful and Fearless. If you follow Keeping Home on Instagram, this is Becky. By the way, this is Becky's voice. I have had a couple people tell me recently, though, that our voices sound a lot alike. Yeah. And it's funny because
we're around each other a lot.
It probably is because I don't think that.
I don't either.
But for multiple people now to have said it,
mm-hmm.
I believe you guys.
Yeah.
But this is Becky.
When we tell stories, no one's going to know whose story it was.
We're going to have to introduce ourselves
Jordan.
Every time. No, but this is Becky. And then if you follow Keeping Home on Instagram, my face is on Keeping Home along with my voice sometimes. And then Kate.
Say something.
I'm Kate.
That's Kate's voice.
And I don't have a follow-up page.
You show some interesting thrift items.
Yeah.
Is Jared done with his meat?
I don't know. Though they're on the front yard. You might see them on the downstairs patio.
But yeah.
Yeah, those are our names and voices.
Yes.
So I will post that picture. But I don't really know how to solve this problem of not being able to tell our voices apart.
Yeah.
I guess we could do a YouTube video.
We could.
We could. We could do YouTube videos. And then that way you could
that would
see
be
our
fine.
Voices with our voices.
Just record them in Jared's office.
Yeah, we could. Maybe we'll do some YouTube videos and post them. And then that way people can maybe listen and watch a couple.
Yeah.
Maybe get used to it. So.
I feel like once you meet us, hang around for a little bit, you're like, oh, yeah, I know who that is.
Yes.
But.
Well, that's all the questions that I had, I think.
I don't think I had any.
Okay.
And we're using my phone to record, and it's on airplane mode, so.
So.
Too late.
We'll have to catch you on the flip side if you posted
really
on mine.
Questions.
We're good.
And see if I can find any more here. And that's it for that. I'm going to switch over to the.
I just smell like a lotion. I am just covered in that Burt's Bees, whatever.
This was a chaotic episode, but this was
It
fun.
Was.
Yeah, it was fine.
It would have been more chaotic had we been inside. So.
All right. Well, is that
Hold
it?
Hold on.
Oh. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Thank you for listening.